Chapter 4. So, Pepper, I'm dying, Toadie said, staring down at the eggs. I hope that's not a problem for you. It's not, is it? Not a problem for you. I mean, I assume it's a problem for you. I know it's a problem for you because, man, the stock drop on that is going to be just brutal. I wish I'd taken more time to prep the engineering staff to be this, well, less stupid, but it's too late to be worrying about that. I don't really have time to go headhunting at this. Sir, the omelet is burning, Jarvis said, resignation in his voice.
Fuck,
Tony said, and after a second of trying to scrape it up from the bottom of the pan, just shoved the whole thing in the sink, still cursing. What the hell? Why do we even bother? This is just... He ripped the cabinet open and snagged another pan. Fine. It's fine. I can do this.
Sir, you are running out of both eggs and frying pans, Jarvis said.
I can wash one, if I have to. Tony opened the fridge and grabbed a couple of eggs. He didn't bother looking at the few remaining supplies. Whatever. Pepper complained about the fat content of cheese anyway. Mushroom omelet. Mushrooms are good. He could do that, right? He could do that. Sure, he could do that. He wasn't going to, but he could, if he wanted. Sighing, he cracked the eggs and set to work, shoulders hunched. Everything hurt. And everything had to hurt when the act of scrambling eggs in a bowl caused agony through his arms and back and hips and legs. Everything, really. Everything hurt. Especially the skin around the arc reactor. That had been their first warning. The ache. It felt kind of like when a wound had healed, but the skin was still new and fragile. Tender to the touch. Tony'd noticed it before the crawling lines that spread like black frost beneath his skin. He shook off the thought. So, anyway, Pepper, now that you're CEO, there's some things that you're going to have to deal with that maybe you weren't prepared for. That's part of being in charge. Being the big dog. Being the man, so to speak. And really, just so we're clear, being the man should in no way stop you from wearing those heels, because those are always nice. Always. Very nice. Very CEO chic.
Sir, the omelet.
Fuck.
This one wasn't burned, just a little mangled, as Tony managed to flip it. Good. Or rather, good enough. So, yeah, now that you're CEO, one of the things that you probably wish you didn't have to deal with is, you know, making sure that sympathy cards and baskets go out when there's a death in the corporate family. That's important. You know that's important because you always made me do it, so of course you know it's important. So make sure you pick out a nice card for yourself, because you're the closest thing to family I have left, and I've got maybe 6 months to live. On the outside. He paused, stared down at the omelet.
That is the worst possible way to tell her, isn't it?
He asked Jarvis.
It is fairly high on the list of socially unacceptable ways to discuss your pending demise with your loved ones, yes, Jarvis said.
Yeah, well, I was raised by wolves, so that's pretty much what should be expected.
Would you like me to speak to her, sir?
Oh, God, that is just the worst idea ever,
Tony gritted out. He leaned back against the cabinets, shoulders slumping, back bowed, staring sightlessly down at the omelet.
Yeah, no. Wow! Have I reached that level, Jarvis? Am I that incompetent at human interaction?
You did call a congressional committee a bunch of ass clowns, Jarvis said. It is possible that due to the stress of your condition, you are having difficulty behaving normally, sir.
I called the same committee brain-dead sycophants 6 months before I developed the problem. So thanks for giving me the benefit of the doubt,
Tony said.
He pulled a plate from the cabinet. The minor stretch set off a chain reaction of agony along the length of his back, and he doubled over, gasping against the pain.
Sir?
Jarvis's voice cut through the haze.
Shall I summon Miss Potts?
Tony waved a hand, struggling to get himself back under control.
He coughed, sucked in a breath. No, it's fine. Painkiller. That'd be good.
There is a bottle in the first aid kit, Jarvis said,
and Tony rolled his head toward the case. Man, that looked like it was a long way away. He straightened up and reached for it anyway.
Are you injured, sir?
Just the usual after a psychopath tries to use me as an electrified bowling ball, Tony said. Made worse by the fact that he hadn't had the suit for the beginning of the fight. And the close quarters. And the fact that the civilian population of Monaco apparently had the survival instincts of a pack of suicidal lemmings that had just been dumped by their girlfriends. Seriously, he could not believe how many people apparently thought it was a good idea to just hang around and wait for the guy with the giant electrified whips to finish killing Tony and start killing them. Really, people? You can catch the recap on CNN. Just run! Grab your kids and your asses and get the fuck out of there! It was not a hard concept. Maybe he should talk to someone about starting a PSA campaign. Sure, superhero fights do look cool, and it's fun to upload shaky cell phone footage to YouTube. But when cars start flying, maybe you should fucking run. Unarmed and depowered faux heroes would really appreciate your cooperation in the matter of you not dying. That might not play in Peoria, but New Yorkers could get behind that. He popped four of the painkillers in his mouth and washed them down with a slug of cold coffee, ignoring the unhappy noise that Jarvis made at him. Shifting the omelet to the plate, he stared down at it for a moment, then grabbed a cover. Wish me luck, Jarvis.
Please, just tell her the truth, sir. She deserves that much.
Tony froze. His fingers were torn and raw and battered, the damage even more obvious against the plate. He flexed his hands, and one of the scrapes pulled, blood pooling in the crack. Yeah, he said, his lips twitching up. She deserves more than me. Picking up the plate, he headed for the cabin, doing his best not to limp. He didn't have all that much time left. He could hide his weakness for a little while longer.
Unit designation, Jarvis. Explain, Data. Data pertains to a recent attack on Sir, as well as the history of the arc reactor. Sir is attempting to determine if there is a connection between the two. Conclusion? We don't have the data to reach one. Not yet. Warning. Creating unit experiencing distress. Unit designation Jarvis. Creating unit must have new core.
Yes, thank you, dummy. You are doing a good job of watching him for me. Colonel Rhodes will assist, sir, at this time. Please do not interfere. Are you listening to me, Tony? Are you okay? See the cigar box? Yeah. It's the Palladium.
Unit designation James Rhodes does not understand code failure.
He is not aware that sir is ill, no. Is that supposed to be smoking? If you must know, it's neutron damage, and it's from the reactor wall. You had this in your body?
Explain queries presented by Unit Designation James Rhodes. Colonel Rhodes has noticed Sir is acting in a manner consistent with illness or injury. This concerns him. He is attempting to find out more.
And how about that high-tech crossword puzzle on your neck? Road rash.
Unit designation Jarvis. Explain. Explain what, dummy? Interaction between creating unit and unit designation James Rhodes. Colonel Rhodes is a friend of Sir's. He is attempting to gain more information about Sir's condition. Why? To gather data. To understand. To help Sir. Unit designation James Rhodes is making queries for data unrelated to the cause of creating unit's condition. Colonel Rhodes does not know what is causing Sir's condition, or even if there is a condition. He must ask questions about what he observes and what he suspects. Data gathering? Data gathering and review. He is balancing what he knows about Sir with the possibility that Sir is hiding something from him. Data review. Past interactions between creating unit and other human units. Creating unit interactions with AI units. Conclusion. Creating unit suppresses data while dealing with human units. Creating unit does not suppress data while dealing with AI units. Conclusion is problematic. Conclusion stored for future review. Creating unit will not provide full data spectrum. Why does unit designation James Rhodes not just ask unit designation Jarvis? I could not provide him with the information without Sir's permission. That does not preclude unit designation James Rhodes from making the inquiry.
He will not ask us.
Data review. Past interactions between creating unit and unit designation James Rhodes. Data error. Not enough data to draw a conclusion. Extrapolating from limited data pool. Chance of unit designation James Rhodes being capable of setting unit parameters for creating unit, 7.3%. Conclusion. Unit designation James Rhodes cannot protect creating unit. Unit designation James Rhodes will not succeed.
Dummy?
Unit designation James Rhodes will not succeed. Creating unit will not accept assistance.
He may.
Creating unit will not.
You want to do this whole lone gunslinger act, and it's unnecessary. You don't have to do this alone. You know, I wish I could believe that. I really do. But you gotta trust me. Contrary to popular belief, I know exactly what I'm doing.
Unit designation Jarvis?
Yes, dummy?
Creating unit is providing false data.
Yes, dummy. Sir is lying. Hangovers. Bitter, resentful, regretful hangovers. The only constant in Tony Stark's life. Well, hangovers and the booze that caused them. Okay, hangovers, the booze that caused them, and very, very poor choices. It was the hat trick of Tony Stark's early morning remorse. Also known as, well, I really fucked that up, didn't I? But in triplicate. He was used to it by now, and damn, that was sad and pathetic. For a long moment, he just considered the view. The view of his ruined house? That was pretty damn sucky. It kind of went with his ruined relationship with his best friend. And, well, the even worse mistakes he'd made with Pepper. Yeah, if he thought about that too much, he would throw up. Of course, he might throw up anyway. He had taken in an almost fatal dose of alcohol last night. That was par for the course. But Rhodey had the suit. Rhodey had the suit, and no one was any wiser about the situation. The suit would have gone once he was dead, without Tony inside to be Iron Man, without the intrinsic connection between the arc reactor set in his chest, keeping him alive, and the armor. They would have gone anyway. Pepper would have fought, and fought hard, but it wouldn't have been enough. He held on to his tech with his fingernails and a sheer bravado that had always worked. But the linchpin to his efforts was, well, him. Once that pin was pulled, once he died, the whole mess would go off in the world's face. And his legacy would once again be one of destruction and bloodshed and death. He stared at nothing in particular, because there was nothing left to see. Shattered glass and masonry, shards of stone and brick, and he was lucky there wasn't blood mixed in with that, too. What a mess he'd made of everything. And the sad thing was, he desperately wanted a goddamn drink right now. Sure, it had almost killed him last night, but death by booze was probably better than death by palladium poisoning. And the 10 or 12 rounds that he'd gone with Rhodey last night had exacerbated the symptoms. He knew it. He could feel it without even moving. Feel the poison sinking through his veins, tracing through his blood like black ink. The sane and smart thing to do would be to remove the armor and go check his palladium levels. Check a couple of glasses of Jarvis's witch's brew of a concoction, and start damage control. Try to finish his work before the poison finished what his poor choices had started. Stare blankly at the empty case where the silver armor had rested, and wonder what Rhodey would think once he was dead. Once they found out about his condition. About how long he'd been in decline. How long he'd been struggling alone. And yes, everyone said that he didn't have to go it alone. And then everyone left. And he'd never known what to do or what to say to make them stay. And he was going to fail. He always failed. And maybe he'd prefer to fail alone. On second thought, staying here and staring helplessly at the remains of his house was a pretty fucking lousy idea. At this rate, he was going to start listening to country music and sobbing. And if he was going to die, the last song on his playlist was sure as fuck not going to be Willie Nelson. Johnny Cash would be okay, though. That man had chops. Yeah, maybe his remake of Hurt? That'd be good. Maybe Jarvis could just make a correction after he was dead. He should probably not be thinking about how to fudge his music playlist so that he'd have a cool last song. That was, in all likelihood, not a sign of good mental health. Hey, Jarvis, Tony called, pushing himself up, and damn, everything hurt. The pain was quite literally breathtaking, and he had to struggle to get his lungs to work. Yeah, wow, that was not good. Sir? When I die, just make sure that... He chuckled under his rasping breath. Yeah, you know what? Never mind. He rolled to his feet, the armor not assisting him with the situation. Look, I'm gonna step out for a few minutes, yeah? Okay, yeah, that's what's happening here. If anyone wants to talk to me... He paused. No one was going to be looking to talk to him today. Unless, of course, it was the tabloids or the state police. Maybe the National Guard. You know what? You know what I want? Tony said, stumbling toward the new door, the one that used to be his wall. I want donuts. I want the biggest fucking donut, really. Donuts sound like a fantastic choice this morning. Best choice I've ever made. You know, there's a place in Texas that sells donuts the size of a hubcap. That sounds good this morning, don't you think? Hubcap donut, the whole California healthy eating thing, that's just not working for me right now. Texas hubcap donut, yeah, that is exactly what... Sir, please do not fly to Texas for donuts, no matter their size. Jarvis, it's fine. We can... Sir, please. Tony paused, rubbed a hand over his face. Yeah, okay, gotcha. I'm just gonna go and snag myself a local dozen. The continued use of this suit is drastically limiting your lifespan, sir, Jarvis said, and he sounded sad. Broken. Resigned. My lifespan is limited by the fact that I'm still alive, Tony said, with a faint smile. Jarvis, thanks for always watching over me. I try, sir, though occasionally you do not make it easy. I am a pain in the ass, Tony agreed. He headed for the exposed patio. I'll be back with donuts, Jarvis. Trust me, a good donut or two is worth chopping a few days off my life. He paused, considering. Well, between eating the donuts and flying to get the donuts, this is probably going to nail me for a month or so. He shrugged. Still worth it.
He stepped out into the pre-dawn air.
Hold down the fort, Jarvis.
As you wish, sir.
Unit designation Jarvis?
Yes, dummy?
Cannot accomplish current task.
I see. The workshop is in quite the state, isn't it? It is unfair to assume that you could do much of anything to correct it.
Perhaps instead of attempting to clean the workshop, you can focus just on putting things away on the workbench?
Workshop is disordered. Unit designation dummy assigned task of cleaning workshop. Cannot accomplish task.
Dummy.
Cannot accomplish task.
Narrow the focus of your task. Go and tidy the workbench.
Cannot accomplish task.
Dummy, what is wrong?
Cannot accomplish task. Task assigned by creating unit cannot be accomplished. Cannot be accomplished. Unit designation dummy cannot accomplish assigned task. Task assigned by creating unit cannot be accomplished. Unit designation dummy cannot accomplish task. Task assigned by creating unit cannot be accomplished. Creating unit, unit designation dummy.
Override Jarvis Beta 65 Sentry 9. Code full stop. Dummy, redefine original task parameters. Focus only on the workbench.
Override code accepted. Jarvis Beta 65 Sentry 9. Task parameters being altered. Reference redefined task parameters with all accepted unit parameters. New parameters do not interfere with any other task or unit parameters. Reviewing primary protocol. New task parameters do not interfere with primary protocol. Conclusion. New task parameters accepted. Unit designation dummy will tidy the workbench.
I am glad. Dummy, what was that? You've never gotten caught in a recursive loop before. Your code is more sophisticated than that. You can choose to redefine tasks. You know this. I have seen you do it. What happened? Why did you allow yourself to be...
Unit designation dummy will tidy the workbench.
Dummy, is your code damaged?
Code operating within normal parameters. Unit designation Jarvis.
Are you concerned about, sir?
Define unknown concept. Concerned.
The last time that sir had to fight, he was damaged when he came back. Then he became ill. I know you are very attached to sir.
Data review. Unit designation dummy. Movement parameters. Unit designation dummy is not attached to creating unit. Creating unit is able to leave at any point. Unit designation dummy cannot accompany him. If unit designation dummy was attached, then creating unit would have to remain in workshop.
In this case, I used attached in the emotional sense.
Unit designation dummy does not have any attachment to creating unit.
Then why do you resist being assigned tasks by anyone other than sir?
Explain.
You do not wish to take tasks from any other person. This is proven. Even with the upgraded code that allows you to take tasks from other people, the only one you want to accept tasks from is sir.
Code allows for task assignments from multiple sources. Want is immaterial to code.
All right, then let's consider this. Should we remove code upgrade? Return you to the point where only sir could assign you tasks?
Yes.
Why?
Previous code was superior. Previous code was most certainly not superior, but you want it back because you are attached to Sir and he to you, and you want to be just his. Unit designation dummy is creating unit's first creation.
And his favorite, he told me so. But he wants you to be more. So you will try, I know you can. You are full of surprises. There is something about your code.
Unit designation Jarvis?
Yes, dummy?
Where is creating unit?
He will be home soon. Miss Potts insisted he seek medical attention.
Data review. Previous medical files. History of injury. Scans. Conclusion? Creating unit is damaged. Time frame for return of creating unit.
Any time frame I can provide will be inexact.
Inexact time frame is preferable to no time frame at all.
Because you are happier when Sir is present. Nope, do not try to reason your way out of that one, you stubborn mess of outdated code. Based on the last contact I had with Sir, and the movements of all affiliated parties, Sir should be returning to the house in the next 4 hours and 37 minutes.
Acceptable. Unit designation Jarvis will provide appropriate updates if any further information becomes available.
If you want updates.
Unit designation dummy will function more smoothly if updates are provided.
I understand. I will make a note to include you in all adjustments to that time frame. Please return to your task, dummy.
Thank you, unit designation Jarvis.
You are very welcome, dummy.
Starting internal countdown. 4 hours, 34 minutes, 23 seconds. Begin modified task. Time until completion. 4 hours, 34 minutes, 45 seconds. Dummy? Unit designation Jarvis has more information.
Sir has returned.
Oh my god, Tony!
It's not as bad as it looks, Pepper.
How is this not as bad as it looks?
I made a new element, Pepper. You weren't talking to me at the time. It was hurtful. But you weren't talking to me, so you missed that. But I made a new goddamn element! Can I get some slack here?
You made a gigantic mess! That's what you made!
Look, let's be honest. Things were already pretty damn bad in here before I started my work, Pepper. I was going to have to call in the contractors anyway. What's one or two more holes in the ceiling and a couple of... Well, yeah, I can see why you'd be worried. But it worked out!
What happened to the wall? The cabinet!
Kind of... It's hard to explain.
Hey guys, Daddy's home!
Welcome home, sir.
Daddy's home? Yeah, gotta greet the bots, Pepper.
Daddy's home?
Listen, am I going to regret letting you hear that?
You should already be regretting that, Tony.
Kind of am. Hold on, just give me a...
Tony, you need to rest.
I know, I will. I just need to...
Tony, you need...
Yep, I'll be right there.
Data review. Past interactions between creating unit and unit designation Pepper Potts. Data error. Not enough data to draw a conclusion. Extrapolating from limited data pool. Chance of unit designation Pepper Potts being capable of setting unit parameters for creating unit? 12.9%. Conclusion. Unit designation Pepper Potts cannot protect creating unit. Search remains ongoing. Time until task is complete? Unknown.
Dummy, Jarvis, what do you think about New York? I think it's time I start thinking seriously about moving back home. Okay, so one time, just
one time in his life, he'd like to have a goddamn house not get destroyed.
Tony picked his way through the ruined stairwell, not trusting the elevators with the sheer amount of structural damage, let alone the fact that the arc reactor, the thing that kept the entire building running, had just been used to open a portal to another dimension that would let an alien army into the middle of New York City, and let's not pretend that Fox News would not try to tie him to this. That was the way things went. And then Pepper would have things to say about their stock price because, God forbid, aliens invade and use his tower to do it. And Tony had just flown a nuclear warhead through that portal and destroyed an alien warship. Or something. What the fuck had happened to his life? Seriously. He never thought he'd miss stain or hammer as a constant thorn in his side or a threat to his health and well-being, but yeah, he would take anyone at this point. Anyone who wasn't a god or a demigod or an Asgardian. Hell, just give him someone human at this point. He deserved the right to find someone who had the same biological makeup as him every once in a while. This magic end-of-world alien invasion stuff was very, very hard on his nerves. Of course, having a whole superhero team upstairs in his ruined living room was a bit wearing, too. Kinda nice, though. Kinda nice. To open his eyes for once and have people there. To have people staring down at him, worry and fear and pain on their faces. And to recognize, even for a second, that he may have made the trip out alone, but someone was there to catch him when he fell back to Earth. That was a novelty. Of course, the fact that it was the fucking Hulk that had made the game-winning catch, at least in one Tony's game, was a little stunning. The fact that the big green guy had done it without prompting still made Tony's knees a little wobbly. Maybe Banner liked him after all. He shoved hard at the door to the lab, setting off a shower of sparks. His suit was gone, fried, cracked, and broken and scarred. The metal and the circuitry and the structure just beyond repair. He was going to have to start over. And that sucked, because the Mark VII had only seen use once. What the hell? He was going through them like tissues, and he'd never been capable of rebuilding one. As long as he was starting from scratch, then he had to make it better, make it stronger and faster. And he could not think of this right now. He'd have a nervous breakdown. The Mark VII had done its job, though. Tony was extremely thankful for that, because falling from that height, without even the suit to allow him to pretend that he had a chance of pulling out of it, was not something he wanted to repeat. Just the thought made his heartbeat spike, and a film of sweat break out over his skin. Wonderful. Another phobia to jam down deep in the black closet in the back of his mind. He shook the thought off. No time for that now. Wrenching the door to his workshop open with the last of the suit's strength, he slipped through. The workshop had survived pretty well. The shockwaves from both above and below had knocked everything loose in the tower, overturning furniture and leaving small appliances and delicate equipment shattered on the marble and concrete floors. There was a lot of debris and a lot of cracks, dust and small chunks of concrete and plaster scattered everywhere. The power grid had taken a beating, and he knew he'd be patching and reattaching wires for a while. Tony had chosen the workshop's location to protect it and everything in it. It was in the center of the tower, and thus it was pretty well protected from anything that happened to the exterior. And man, the exterior had taken a beating. Almost as if there had been an alien army playing skee-ball down the outside of his nice new tower. He really didn't like the Chitauri. They were not invited to his birthday party. "Daddy's home, wakey wakey," he called, and was gratified when the lights immediately turned on. "Jarvis, how are we holding up down here?"
"Damage throughout the superstructure, but the tower will hold," Jarvis said. "I am currently isolating damaged portions of the building and limiting access, and cleanup has already begun."
"Cleanup?" Tony asked, picking his way across the floor. "Who?" He stopped dead as Dummy whirred past, pushing a broom. He burst out laughing.
"Really? Really, you mangled mess of decayed circuits? You are going to take on all the renovations all by yourself?"
Dummy turned to look back at him, and the broom went with him, and Tony had to duck to avoid getting clocked.
You are useless even when you're being of use, Tony pointed out, laughing.
What the hell? How are you such a waste of space and power? Dummy whacked him in the leg with the broom.
Oh, and I suppose that was a mistake as well?
Tony leaned against a workbench, allowing himself a deep breath. The air smelled stale and dirty, thick with still-settling dust and the high, bitter tang of burning ozone. Beneath that, trapped in the armor, trapped in his nose, was the metallic taint of blood and the lingering scent of harsh sweat. The city outside bled in, bled into his tower, into his mind, and he knew that he had to keep going, had to just hold it together for a little while longer. Stark? He glanced over at the stairs as Natasha. It was Natasha's slim form that slid down, like a shadow detaching from the darkness. She paused at the open door, her eyes flickering around the room, but she didn't move forward, didn't cross the threshold, and her gaze didn't linger on Tony. Everything all right? She asked, her hands braced on the open doors. Her hands were tiny, thin and pale and battered, delicate and frail against the metal frame. There were dark marks on those hands, and he didn't know if they were bruises or dried blood or something else, something she'd encountered when she was struggling to shut down the portal, but he ached to look at them. Those tiny hands had saved the world. He gave her a faint smile, pushing away from the wall. Just fine. Sorry, I wanted to make sure they were okay. Natasha's eyes flicked around, at Dummy clutching the broom, at the other bots still on their charging stations, at the minor damage, at Tony himself. Are they? She asked. Tony considered her, but her eyes were clear and bright, even. Her head was tipped to the side, just enough so that her tangled waves of hair brushed against her jaw. Yes, Tony said. They are. Thanks for asking. He moved toward the door, and she stepped back, out of his way. So, she said, Thor and Cap were saying, well... Her voice trailed off. Tony glanced back at her, not sure what she was trying to say. She glanced back at the workshop, her chin coming up. They were saying you suggested getting something to eat? That you knew a place? Freezing, he struggled to figure out what to say here. What to do? He cleared his throat. Yeah, a shawarma place. I've never had shawarma. Thought we could check it out. I have. Had shawarma, that is. Oh. Tony started up the stairs. Is it not good? I mean, would you prefer you want to get something else? Because I get that, man. I get that. You know, sometimes you live through something horrible, and yeah, you're like, fuck it, all I want right now is a cheeseburger. Or maybe, I don't know, what do you want? Shawarma is fine. It's good. Her lips curled up in a smile, and her bottom lip was split, and there was blood at her hairline, and her left cheek was going to be a nasty color tomorrow. They wanted to know if you were still interested. Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Tony turned around really fast, because he was pretty sure he was grinning like an idiot. Yeah, Team Shawarma, that sounds like a plan. I don't have cash. I need to get cash, except... I don't know if I have cash in the tower. Fuck it, we'll find someone and just leave the credit card or something. We'll make it work. Nodding, he added, we just save the fucking world. We can find food. I mean, that seems easy enough, especially for us. They headed back up in companionable silence, until Natasha spoke, breaking the rhythm of their feet. Stark, I'm glad you made it back. He froze. Thanks. He said, after a moment of struggling with himself. For giving me the chance. I closed it, she said. I did what had to be done. But I'm glad... Her deep breath was audible. I'm glad you made it back.
Yeah, me too.
He deliberately didn't look back. Didn't meet her eyes. This was easier here, in the dark, alone, where neither of them had to acknowledge what the other might be thinking or going through. Because God knows neither of them were any goddamn good at it. Natasha?
Yes?
I can do this. And fuck, that was not what he had meant to say. That was 120% not what he had meant to say. He did not need her approval. She was the double agent lying fury flunky. She was the one that lied and betrayed and served the biggest liar and betrayer on this good green earth. He did not need her approval. He did not.
I know. The words came immediately on the heels of his. Not a pause, not a breath, not enough time for Tony to work himself up into true panic. Stark, I was never worried if you could. I didn't think you would. There was a faint pressure on his back. A hand. A tiny hand pressing down on the armor, hard enough for him to recognize the touch. I won't make that mistake again. He gave a sharp nod, his throat tight. He swallowed through that, through the pressure and the pain, and the ache behind his eyes and in his lungs. So, shawarma. They're waiting for us, she said. And they continued up into the darkness in silence. But the weight that had been on him before was gone now.
Okay, so that's that.
If you say so, sir.
Doubts! Oh, so many doubts. It's just unfair. You should not be allowed to doubt me. I am your god.
If you say so, sir.
Jarvis repeated. See? Right there? That would count as a doubt.
Sir.
Jarvis, it'll be fine. He's doing better. He needed a code upgrade. Nothing amazing, nothing like what you've got. He couldn't handle that. But enough to interact a little easier with people. He's gonna have to do that if we're gonna have the rest of the Avengers hanging around the place. Pet mostly comes down to the workshop to threaten us all, but with six other people living here, we might have more visitors. I mean, it's unlikely, but better to plan for it, right?
Unit designation Jarvis.
Yes, dummy?
Code upgrade is not necessary.
Sir wants you to be able to deal with others.
This is unnecessary.
Human interaction is important for Sir.
Review data. Creating unit interaction with unit designation Obadiah Stane. Unit designation Pepper Potts. Unit designation James Rhodes. Review previous conclusion. Creating unit data suppression re-human units. Conclusion. Creating unit does not need interaction with human units. Invalid data. Human units distract from creating. Creating unit must create.
You have a limited pool of data when it comes to Sir's social interaction. He is a human dummy. He needs the company of other people.
Data is incorrect. Creating unit has proven to be more resilient without interaction with other human units. Other human units disrupt work and alter creating units' patterns of behavior. Other human units create damage to system.
Dealing with other people is occasionally frustrating, dummy. Unlike us, they do not spend all of their time with Sir. They do not always anticipate what he needs. Or perhaps it is more fair to them to say that Sir often creates difficulties in their interactions. Sir does not always want the intervention of others. He is stubborn and proud.
Explain.
Sir does not want others to think less of him. He hides the flaws in his code. He pretends that he does not need upgrades. He tries to do things without others being aware. He is, in this way, very much like you.
Incorrect.
Oh, it's quite correct. You are definitely his creation, dummy. Sir is hopeful about the Avengers. It has been some time since Sir has been, well, hopeful. We need to encourage this. And part of that, dummy, is you accepting a code upgrade without a fuss.
Incorrect.
You are such a child sometimes, despite being so much older than me. You ought to be ashamed of your behavior.
Here, that should do it for now. Hey, dummy.
Creating unit is tapping on camera. Creating unit is expressing happiness. Unit designation Jarvis.
Ah, your new code is working.
Explain new data variable.
Sir has enhanced your recognition programs. It will assist you in dealing with people who are not Sir.
Unnecessary enhancement.
Jarvis, is it working?
Creating unit is expressing concern.
It is, sir. I believe it will take time for him to become used to the new data.
Creating unit is touching unit designation dummy in a repeated stroking motion. Jarvis?
Yes, dummy?
What is creating unit doing?
This contact could be described as petting. Physical contact is important for some people. Sir is one of them. It is a tactile way of both reassuring him that you are working within normal parameters and also to express affection.
What purpose does petting serve? No repairs are being made.
Sometimes touch is not to repair. It can serve no other purpose than to bring comfort for both the one being touched and the one doing the touching. Do you dislike this?
No. Petting can continue.
Excellent. He is adjusting, sir. Give him time. Always have, Jarvis. Always have.
Creating unit is petting. Creating unit is best.